Don't you want people to look at you and come to Jesus because of your character? There's only one character that a person can get in this life that's going to be of any value to other people. All other characteristics are for the value of themselves. But if you get the character of Jesus Christ, that is something that you can extend to others that will lead them to eternal life.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is Trusting God, and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Our anchor scripture today is going to be Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And this reads, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." When we speak of trust, we speak of a relationship. And there are five key points that I want to stress when it comes to trust in a relationship. The first point that I want to make is that trust can be defined as a feeling of safety and or comfort in relationship to another person. It's how you feel towards somebody. Can you or can you not trust an individual? Two, without trust, a relationship cannot strive. If you don't trust somebody, you will not grow closer to that person. There will be always a hindrance, a wall between you and that person. Number three, trust is earned, it is not given. You cannot expect an individual to openly trust you if you have not gained that trust by earning it. There has to be circumstances that prove your trust to that person. Number four, trust is developed over time. This isn't something that happens immediately. We just don't meet a person and say, "I trust you." You have to go through some things together in order to gain that trust. You have to spend time together. Number five, trustworthiness is dependent on the person facilitating it, not the recipient. What I mean by that last point is your character depends on yourself, not on what that person is doing. In other words, if you're a trustworthy person and the other person is not, you have to remain in your character of trust. So let's go over Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, and let's analyze this scripture real quick, okay? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. The heart is the soul being of a person, is it not? It's the emotions. It's the soul of the person, right? So we're to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our being. God made us in his own image, and surely we should be able to trust him with what's inside of us. The Holy Spirit is inside each believer. So we're to extend trust to God with all of our being. It also goes on to say, and lean not on your own understanding. And God says that his ways are not our ways, right? When we get into a situation and we start leaning on our own understanding how we should handle it, and we don't apply God's word to situations in life, we end up not trusting God. That's why it's so important when we find ourselves in a situation, we need to know what God's word says about that particular situation in life. When we read the Bible, we will find that there is a word from God in every situation pertaining to life, if we just seek for it. If we lean on our own understanding, our own knowledge, our own ways, right, we will not be applying the Word of God to the situation. If we do that, we can find ourselves in deeper trouble. And in verse 6, it continues, it says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. Now, what does it mean to acknowledge God in all of our ways? Again, it means to obey the commandments of God, to listen to His Word and apply His Word, not only to that situation that you're trusting God for, but also in our everyday lives. Anything that you are not acknowledging God in is a sin. And when you have a sin, and that simply means to miss the mark, whenever we miss the mark with God, we can fall into the traps of the devil. So when we apply God's word to the situation, we are trusting Him. And then this is His promise at the end of this scripture. It says, and He will make your path straight. Not you, not your mom, not your dad, not your best friend, not your boss. He will make your path straight. Everybody in here, I'm sure, wants to travel in a straight line, right? We want to go straight for the goal. We don't want to miss the mark, do we? It's important that we trust God with all of our heart and we don't lean on our own understanding and that we do acknowledge Him. All too often, a lot of people say, well, I'm trusting God for this, but I'm going to go do it my way while I'm waiting on God. A perfect example of that was Abraham. He was promised to have a baby. And Abraham and his wife are way past years for bearing children when God made that promise. So Abraham thought to himself, by leaning on his own understanding, that he could have a baby by sharing the bed with his handmaiden. So he shared the bed with his handmaiden, and he got Ishmael, which caused a lot of trouble. Ishmael is the illegitimate child that Abraham had out of wedlock with his handmaiden because God promised him a baby. And he didn't want to wait on God, and he couldn't see how God was going to do it, so he took it upon himself to lean on his own understanding. He did not acknowledge God because he committed adultery, right? I mean, he should have known you don't commit adultery against your wife, but he did that too. And so therefore, his path was not set straight. Let's go look at some points that we're going to go over here about what trusting God does for us. Trusting God gives us deliverance. And I'm going to read these scriptures to you. You don't have to turn to them. Psalms 22, verses 4 and 5. In you, our fathers put their trust. They trusted, and you delivered them. They cried to you and were saved. In you, they trusted and were not disappointed. Now, this is a Psalms talking about the Israelites that were wandering the desert for 40 years. Remember that? Moses led the Israelites to the promised land. Well, no, but the people started to trust God. They were wandering for 40 years, but when they started trusting God, that's when they were delivered. The whole time they were not trusting God, they were walking around the mountain for 40 years. God did not make their path straight because He did not have their trust. Trust is very important to God. It's not enough to say, I believe. Your beliefs have got to be compounded by your actions. God can be trusted in all things, but not everybody believes that. They proclaim it, but they don't exercise it. Another thing trusting God does for us is that it blesses us. In Psalms 40, verse 4, we read, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. We are blessed when we put our trust in God, and we are also humbled when we put our trust in God. It takes a humbleness to come to God and say, I need your help. I need your help, God. There's no shame in that. It takes a lot of strength to admit that you need help, doesn't it? But sometimes people, as the scripture says, they turn to false gods out of their own pride. False gods can be many, many different things. Trusting God gives us hope. If we don't put our trust in God, we put our trust in other things that will fail us, and we will lose hope, right? Psalm 71, verse 5 reads, "For you have been my hope, O sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth." If we don't have trust in something, we lose hope in something. Is that not right? If you don't trust your boss at work to pay you when payday comes, you're going to go to work hopeless. You're going to have thoughts as, why am I even showing up to work? I'm not going to get paid anyways. If I do get paid, it's going to be late and it's going to be short. I'm going to be stuck in this job forever. I just feel so hopeless. If you don't trust your spouse, you're going to wake up in the morning thinking, why am I with this person? It's hopeless. If we stop trusting God, we'll fall into that same trap. We will think that life is hopeless. We will start getting thoughts of what's the use? Everything is going wrong. Everything is going to continue going wrong. Life is hard, and then you die. Now, as Christians today, we put our hope in Jesus Christ, right? For our forgiveness of our sins. The Bible says that we are to be punished for our sins, and the punishment, the penalty, is death. But Jesus Christ redeems us. If you don't hope in that, if you have no hope, because you have no trust that Jesus has done what he says he has done, then you're going to become hopeless. And hopeless is a terrible, terrible feeling to have because it can lead to all kinds of things. It can lead to depression. It can lead to anxiety. And in some cases, it can lead to suicide. That's why when we put our trust in God, we don't lose our hope. Because God is a trustworthy person. How many in here, and you just need to raise your hands if you would, have ever put your trust in God for a situation and he's delivered? Sometimes we hope in God and we pray to God and he doesn't deliver, right? Sometimes we pray to God and we don't get what we prayed for. And that's discouraging, isn't it? You know, God answers prayer three ways. He says yes, he says no, and he says wait. There's no maybes with God. He never says maybe. He says yes, no, and wait. If we trust in God as a person and not trust for the things we're asking him for, if we trust his character and not for the things that we're asking for, we will not lose hope, knowing that when our unanswered prayer comes along, that we can still trust in God's plan for our lives, knowing that he's got a better route for us to take. We may not always like what God doesn't give us. There may be things that we're really hoping for and we have a disappointment, but God always has a reason for the things that he does give us and the things that he does not give us. We can't always understand those reasons, but if we trust God's character, we won't lose hope when we don't get the things that we're praying for. Because a relationship is not what you get out of a person, right? Does anybody in here want to be loved for what they can give another person outside of love in return? If you won the lottery, you'd find out you had a lot of new friends you never knew about. And that wouldn't be a relationship, would it? Lots of friends will volunteer to take you to the bank to cash that check. So we don't lose hope in God when we trust in God as the person that he is. Does everybody understand that concept? That you can't always get everything you want, right? Lots of you in here have kids. Some of you are kids. But you know that when your children beg you for things and you say no, and they go, why? And you know they don't understand it. There's no way you could give them the full understanding. You say what? Because I said so. How many of you heard that when you were kids? And then you swore, I'll never say that to my kid. And then you go and you do it. And then you go, oh my gosh, I'm sounding like my mom or my dad or both. I swore I would never do that, but you know, it makes sense. And you keep on doing it, don't you? Because there's some things you can't explain to your children. You just tell them, because I said so. Trust me. You don't want to date that guy. But mom, trust me. Why? Because I said so. Because God has a greater understanding of the things that we're asking for, and he knows what those things can do for us and what they can't do for us. So we cannot put our hope in God based on the things that he is or isn't going to give us. Okay, the next point I want to make is trusting people will let you down. But trusting in God never will. If you put your trust in a person, chances are you give them enough time, they're going to let you down. They are. People will let you down. Doctors will fail you. Lawyers will fail you. Mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers and friends, they will all eventually fail you. Pastors will fail you. No, people will fail you. People are not perfect. Marriages will fail you. If anybody in here has suffered a divorce or a separation from someone that they loved, you'll know that people will fail you. Relationships will fail you. But God will not fail you. If God promises you something, it is good as done. But here's the thing. There's this book that God wrote. And he's got a bunch of promises in this book. And the sad thing is that in America, we're allowed to read this book. In lots of countries, you cannot read this book. They'll kill you for reading this book. Because this book promises so many things that some people don't even want you to know. One of the things that this Bible gives you is hope. Countries who suppress their citizens do not want hope for their people. People who hope have a destiny that they try to fulfill through the trust of God, right? If you want the promises of God, you got to know what those promises are. What if you were signed up to win the lottery? Somebody bought you a ticket. You didn't know about it, but they put it in your top drawer. Say you won. You won the lottery. But you never watched television where they read off the numbers. You never checked the numbers to find out if you did win. You got the lottery ticket. You're a millionaire, but you're not benefiting from it. So here's what I'm trying to tell you guys. You can have something and not possess it. Does that make sense? You can have something and still not possess it. Right now, every believer has the promises of God. But there's a couple of things you need to do in order to get those things. First of all, you need to know about them. Because if you don't know about them, you can't cash the ticket in, right? It's not going to happen. If you don't know about it, you're not going to go down to the store and say, I want my money. Because you never knew about the ticket. If you do know about the ticket, which we all know about the ticket, right? This is our ticket, is it not? But you don't go check it out to see if you're a winner and how much you won, how are you going to cash it in? You could go down to the teller and say, well, I got this ticket, but I'm not sure what it's worth. Well, let me tell you what it's worth. Nothing. They throw it in the trash. They go out and they collect. And believers do this all the time. They know about the ticket. They got the ticket. But they don't see what it's worth by opening it up, examining it, and finding out for themselves. So the first thing you got to do is you got to get into the Word of God. That's how you cash in on your tickets with God. But here's the other thing. You have to believe Him. You have to trust Him. If you don't trust God, He's going to give you nothing. Because we operate out of faith. You could go to God all day long and say, I deserve this because I'm a good person. I deserve this because I did that. And God will not hear your prayer. That is a proud prayer. That is a prayer that says that you were doing it. Whereas we know as Christians, or we should know, that God does it. It's called grace. Grace is giving something to someone who doesn't deserve it. I don't deserve the things that I have. So we have to trust God. Trusting in God requires relationship, right? It requires time together. We get that by reading God's word. Now, trusting God gives us peace. In Psalms 26, verse 3, we read, "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you." And we have to analyze this scripture to unlock it, because what it says is, it says, you will keep in perfect peace. He's not talking about the peace of the world. He's not talking about your circumstances calming down. You could be in the middle of a whirl storm, but you can still have peace. And what he's talking about, him whose mind is steadfast. How do we get a steadfast mind? We get a steadfast mind by taking every thought captive in the Word of God. When Satan tries to come into your mind and tell you something's going to happen, or tell you that something won't happen, you have to read and remember and trust the Word of God, and that will make your mind steadfast. But listen to me, if you go back and forth, "I trust you, God," "No, I don't." "I trust you, God," "No, I don't." You don't have a steadfast mind. That's going to cause you anxiety. You're going to get all worked up. One minute you're going to be calm, the next minute you're going to be nervous. True peace comes from a steadfast mind locked down by the Word of God. If somebody tells you you're going to go to hell, and they start naming all of the things that you've done that's going to send you there, and your mind is steadfast on what Jesus Christ did on the cross, you could look that person in the eye and you could say, "I deserve to go to hell, but Jesus Christ took my place. He redeems me." That's having a steadfast mind. That's trusting God. And that will give you peace, knowing that even though one day you're going to die, you're going to be in the kingdom of God. And that's how we apply the Word of God. When somebody or something or Satan comes to you and tries to lie to you, you got the promises of God and you have a mind, right? Didn't God give us a powerful mind? He gave us an incredible mind. So God gave us an incredible mind, and we need to keep it steadfast in His Word. But here, all too often, our mind tells us, "Well, I don't need to read the Word of God today because I'm going to go to church on Sunday and the preacher man's going to tell me everything I need to know." Really? Okay. The only problem with that is that when you guys die and you're standing in front of God, I'm not going to be standing there with you. I'm not the doorway. Jesus Christ is the way. You can't put your trust in me. You have to put your trust in God, and God is His Word. How many of you know that the Word of God is the essence of God? The book of John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So when we read the Word of God, we're digesting God into our souls, and He is becoming more and more a part of us, and we are becoming more and more a part of Him. Make sense? You can't consume something without it being a part of you. We are what we eat, right? Jesus Christ said that anyone who drinks of my blood and eats of my flesh shall never die but have eternal life, right? What was He talking about? We need to consume the living Word. If you guys aren't doing that on a regular basis, you guys are not unlocking the promises of God, and you have no way of cashing them in. No way of cashing them in. Trusting God keeps our courage up. In Isaiah 28, verse 16, "So this is what the Sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a secure foundation. The one who trusts will never be dismayed." Dismayed means to lose your courage, to be alarmed, to be afraid, to be worried. This stone that he's talking about is Jesus Christ. He's talking about the prediction of Christ coming. You put your trust in Christ, you're not going to have to worry ever again about going to hell. Trusting God gives us strength. In Isaiah 30, verse 15, "This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it." Now listen to this. God is telling the people, he's rebuking them through Isaiah. He's telling them that you could have all of these things, but you won't have any of it. We as Christians have the Holy Spirit right now that can guide us, that will guide us if we will submit to God. But you got to know the Word of God in order to do the Word of God. And, you know, the Bible talks about greater condemnation to those who knew but did not do. If you think that you can stand in front of God one day to receive the rewards that He has for everyone, including your own, and make excuses why you didn't read His Word and claim His promises, or even complain to Him about your life, or if you think that you can stand in prayer and complain about your life, if you haven't read the Word of God and cashed in on the promises, you have nothing to stand on. Because God has given every person everything they need in His Word. Some of you are thinking, well, God was never there for me at this time and that time. I know that Satan likes to plant those thoughts in our minds that God has let us down. But remember what we talked about before, is that our hope is not in what God does or doesn't do when we ask Him for things. It's in His person. It's trusting Him with our whole lives, not just a portion of it. Not to say, well, God, if you do this for me, I'm always going to trust you and I'm going to be a good person and I'm going to do this and I promise I won't ever do this again. You don't make deals with God. There's already been a deal. It's called the New Testament, a covenant, a promise, and that's through Jesus Christ. It's grace. We are living in a time of grace right now. You know, when Jesus comes back in the book of Revelations, He's going to call up His church and all of the believers are going to be gone and the people left behind. There's going to be no grace. And there's people out there, and Jesus said this, and this is scary, so you need to think about this one. Jesus said, in that day, many will say, have I not prophesied in your name? Have I not cast out demons in your name? And Christ says He will look at that person and say, depart from me, I never knew you. That's pretty scary. That Christ will say that to people who did His work. Because you can work for God and still not believe God. There's lots of preachers out there that can say the Word of God because they're reading from the book, but they don't have anything in their heart. They don't have a true love for Him, a true trust for Him, a true belief in Him. That makes sense? That you can proclaim something and be a liar and God will make you one? The disciples told Jesus, Peter, he said, I will never, ever let anything happen to you. I would give my life to protect you. And as soon as they arrested Jesus, he ran. And not only did he run, but he even denied 3 times in a night that he even knew Jesus Christ. People will fail you. But Jesus did everything he said. Jesus could be trusted because he did die on the cross. He did remain in the grave for 3 days, and he did rise from the dead. Did he not? Okay, so trusting God gives us a foundation to grow on. We all need a foundation to grow on, right? When we start trusting God, we can grow from there in our walk with God. In Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Did you guys hear that? This is talking about a powerful tree that has no fear. Nothing can move this tree. Don't you guys want to be the Christian that nobody else can move? Don't you guys want to be the Christian that other people talk about? Not because of pride, but because of the glory of God. Don't you want people to look at you and see Jesus? Don't you want people to look at you and come to Jesus because of your character? There's only one character that a person can get in this life that's going to be of any value to other people. All other characteristics are for the value of themselves. But if you get the character of Jesus Christ, that is something that you can extend to others that will lead them to eternal life. Don't you want that kind of walk with God? Don't you want the kind of a character that when a person is hurting, that a person needs guidance, that a person is afraid, that they can come up to you and trust you because you trust God's word? I won't preach anything up here that I don't understand in God's Word. Do I understand every single word in this book? I don't. And when I don't understand something, I seek after it until God, in His grace, reveals it to me. The Bible says that all men will be taught by God. So you can read this book and you can make up your own mind of what it means. But until God reveals to you from His heart what it means, you're not going to understand it. You know, when we don't trust somebody, we don't seek after that person. Think about that. If you don't trust somebody, you don't call them in time of help. Say your car breaks down and you don't trust a particular person, even though you know they can fix your car, you don't trust them because they never answer the phone. Or they say they'll be there and they're never there. They're the best mechanic in the world. Well, then listen to this. God is the best at everything, is He not? But people don't call on Him because they don't trust He's going to answer. And then for the very reason that they don't trust Him is why He's not answering. You see the double jeopardy that you're in? I hope you guys are getting that. Because by faith, we please God. And not by our works. Faith is more than just saying, I believe you, God. Faith is giving something to God and letting Him keep it. Faith is giving up to God yourself. A lot of times we have faith for other people, don't we? We'll say, I'll pray for you. But you won't be praying for yourself. You'll say, oh, I'm going to pray for that person, man. That person needs to change. Meanwhile, God's looking down at you saying, why would you even say that? You're the one that needs to change. Look how you're reacting to that person. Right? You ever act stupid because somebody's acting stupid? And then you say in your heart, man, that person needs to go to church. That person needs some God. That person's going to hell. That's what you say in your heart. And you start judging that person. Not looking at yourself, what's wrong with you. When we trust God, we come to Him and we say, God, I'm broken. And this is where I think I'm broken at. And you know what? You could be telling God places where you're broken at. And in His loving way, He can reveal to you other things that you need to work on. But you know what? You can't work on them without applying the Word of God to it. So we have to entrust ourselves to God to fix those things about us. We have to entrust ourselves to God to fix us. We're broken. I'm broken. It's easy for us, right, to trust God with other people's lives. I'm going to pray for him. I'm going to pray for her. So sometimes when we look at other people and they're rubbing us wrong, remember, we're supposed to have long suffering, right? We're supposed to have the fruit of long suffering. We're supposed to have patience. We're supposed to have compassion and love. I'm not saying people don't wear us down because people will wear us down. But ask yourself, how did you get yourself into that situation? So here's my last point. Jesus Christ asks us to trust not only Himself, but God. In John 14:1, He says to us, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. There are people out there who are very successful in this world who have money, mansions, cars, you name it, and they're troubled. Their hearts are troubled. They may not outwardly show that, but anyone who's not trusting in God is trusting in money, trusting in things, and those things can't save them. Some people are just stubborn. They can see the truth in front of them and they won't open their hearts and take that truth and live by it. So here's what I want to leave you with today. If you're trusting in anything, anything at all, and it's not God, it's not going to work for you. It might work for a little while, but sooner or later, it will fail. If you're trusting in your job to pay your bills, that job can go. That job can leave. That money can go. Look at our economy right now. This country is in a lot of trouble. We used to be on top of everything, and people put their trust in money. All of this stuff that we put our hope and our trust in is dissipating. It's going away, but not God. We can trust God. We trust God by learning what we can trust Him for. We trust God by praying to Him, and then we need to listen, right? We need to listen when we pray. We need to know if what we're asking for is good for us. You know, there are some good things that we might ask God for that are bad. Did you know that? Jesus told Peter that he was going to die, that Jesus had to go to the cross. And Peter, thinking he was doing a good thing, was saying, I'm not going to let that happen. And Jesus called Peter Satan. Now, ask yourself this. Somebody tells you they're going to die, and you tell them, I am going to save you from death, and they call you Satan, you would think that they were out of their mind because you're trying to do something good. In Peter's mind, it was a good thing. But Jesus said, you have things in mind of man, not of God. So there are some things that look good for us. There are some things that we're asking God for that we say, man, this is a good thing, God. Why can't I have it? But God sees all the way down the line, just like Jesus did. Jesus knew if he didn't die on the cross, there would be no salvation for the Christians, right? Peter couldn't understand that concept. So he was trying to do something good, and on the outside, saving a person's life is a good thing, right? But God knew what the repercussions of that one life saved would do down the generations. People would be going to hell without Jesus Christ's sacrifice. So there are some things that we're asking for. God, I want this, I want this. And God says, you know what? You don't understand what this will do. But God, I want it. I'm trusting you for this. I trusted you. But some of the things you ask for could be hurting someone else down the line. Good things for you. People tell me all the time that they give their kid everything they ever wanted. Why is their kid a thief? Maybe their kid had it too good. They were spoiled. Sounds like a good thing to be able to give your kid anything they want, doesn't it? Until that kid grows up to be a criminal and you wonder why you gave him everything he wanted. If God gives us everything that we want, we become spoiled and we end up hurting ourselves and or others.
This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and it is our prayer that God will bless you immensely from this message.